Grab your Bibles. I got a few minutes here. Leviticus chapter 1. We finished Exodus. And God didn't just establish the tabernacle and all the elements within it. He also prescribed certain sacrifices that were necessary, just as all the elements of the house of worship that were the pieces of furniture, the seven pieces of furniture that are there within, just as the screens and the doors and everything that was made pointed to Christ, so too these offerings point forward to Christ. They point backwards, as we saw in the book of Genesis there, that God had established the necessity of sacrifice for sin, that when Adam and Eve sinned, he had to cut tunics for them. They witnessed death for the first time, the death of those creatures that Adam named. One had to be slain so that God could cover the nakedness and the shame resulting from sin. That pointed, of course, forward to what we're going to read here in Leviticus about the offerings. And we'll examine these over the next couple weeks and talk about how they're different offerings of different sorts. Some are mandatory, some are voluntary. They all have a different purpose, and the provisions of those sacrifices are enjoyed sometimes solely for God. The portions are divided maybe for him, or maybe for the priests, or maybe even for the worshiper. We'll see there's a distinction between them. But the amazing thing about them is just the importance tonight of the need for blood sacrifice. I know we don't sing about the blood a lot in lots of churches because, well, that's gory, right? And it's amazing to me we don't want to sing those hymns that have to do with the blood, but man, there's some bloodletting that goes on in those video games that let our kids watch, right, and play, and all the movies. But it's interesting here in Leviticus chapter 1 that the Lord called to Moses. He spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting. Remember, at the end of the book of Exodus, everything had been inspected and everything had been erected, and it was now set up quite quickly. And the Lord speaks to Moses because his presence is there, his glory is there. It's evident to everyone. God is among his people just as he promised. And now God is going to say, this is how you approach me. Remember, God defines the nature of worship, not man. God defines how we approach him. And that approach requires a sacrifice. Why? Because we're sinners. And it's interesting to me that when God spoke to him, he said in verse 2, hey, listen, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, now I circled this in my Bible, when what? When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, or of the flock. When? In other words, God knew that there would need to be some means, some way, for man to approach him. Why? Because sinful man would need some way to come before the presence of a holy God. This, of course, anticipates, God knows, listen, does God want us to sin? Oh, no. But he understands, you know what? He knows this stuff. Read the book of Hebrews. He understands. He put it on. And the amazing thing is that even though he knew we would do that, he made a provision for it, amen? So that we could approach him. When you bring your offering of different types, he mentions here of the herd or of the flock, we'll see that there are different offerings that were offered, sometimes a bull, sometimes a goat, sometimes a lamb, sometimes a dove, or sometimes some type of grain offering. These different types of provisions that were brought, it's interesting when he says, when you bring the offering, literally in the Hebrew, the idea is when you draw near to me. Whenever we go towards God, we draw near to him. Beloved, there needs to be some type of sacrifice offered in our place. Praise God for us. We know what this points to. Amen. The lamb that would take away the sin of the world. But God made a provision so that man could come towards him and draw near to him. And they're to bring an offering. Now, this first offering is called the burnt offering. What that really means is this is an offering that's completely consumed. It's burnt up, the whole thing. It's going to be offered completely up to the Lord. But when that burnt offering is brought, it's interesting. You'll see this all throughout this. It's an emphasis that it's without blemish. He emphasizes first the bull, then he mentions the lamb or the one from the flock, and then he'll mention the birds and that are brought. And as they're brought, it's interesting, it's a male without blemish, as it says in verse 3, but it's given by your own free will. This is not a mandatory. The first three offerings that are mentioned are all voluntary. We'll see then the last two are mandatory. But this offering is brought, and it's brought, and I underline this in verse 4. Well, first this portion. He says, he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. When you brought this creature to the Lord for sacrifice, this is interesting, right? Why in the world would you put your hand on the head of that creature? This is, if you want to write in the margin of your Bible, you just write identification. You identify with the sacrifice that's being offered in your place. Why? To make atonement. To make parties that are distant from one another, one. To reconcile the gap that's made because of sin between a holy God and sinful man, to make one. And it's a sacrifice that's required. You brought your sacrifice and you identified with that. You would come and you would lay your hand on the head and confess your sin. And acknowledge your sin to God. And by identifying with that, why would you identify with that creature, whether it was the bull or was a goat or a ram? Well, the reason is because the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. And what you're saying and identifying with that creature is, listen, I deserve death, but this creature is going to be offered in my place. You know, the life of the creature, right, is in the blood. The blood is the secret, right? That's what Leviticus would tell us. The life of the creature is in its blood, Leviticus 17:11. That blood is a picture of life. And by being spilt, this blood being spilt out, and death then being the result of that, it's a reminder to the offer, the one who worships God, who comes and they realize the severity of sin, the significance of it. God doesn't wink at it, beloved. But praise God, he's merciful and gracious. Remember over in Exodus 34, that's what Moses learned about God when he passed before him. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping hesed, keeping his covenant, but also forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Praise God, that's who he is. And he made a provision. Put your hand on it, identify with it, because this burnt offering is offered up and it's accepted on your behalf to make atonement for it. Some would say, listen, not only did you identify with that creature, but then you had to take its life. Now that'd be pretty severe. That would really wake you up. You know what? This one is dying in my place. Now, certainly, we know that the blood of bulls and goats can't take away the sin of man. This was all temporary. This all pointed forward to when one man would come, a perfect man, a God-man would come, to offer himself as the sacrifice for the sins of the world, the Lord Jesus. Amen? But this picture here is for us of identification so that reconciliation can take place and that two parties that are estranged can have atonement. At one moment, they are one. And that's what we look forward to. This offering, it's repeated over and over again in verse 4, to make atonement. I underlined that in my Bible. And then I underlined it over in, let's see, it's repeated down throughout this, to make atonement. And the other emphasis on this is also that the blood is spilled out so that the blood is poured out all around the base of the altar. They kept some that would be sprinkled, but it's poured out. In other words, that life is completely exhausted so that we can be made right with God. Sin always leads to death. You know, we know these verses, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That reminded me, when you bring your offering, we're all going to have to bring an offering. Or we can claim the offering that God provided for us. Amen? And that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23. These sacrifices anticipate that Christ would be God's demonstration towards us of his love, so that we who are far could be brought near to him. What's also amazing about this is that these offerings that are offered are a sweet aroma, as it says in verse 9. This offering that's made by fire is a sweet aroma to the Lord. It's repeated down in verse 13 when the ram or the sheep is brought, or the goat is brought, that it's a sacrifice made by fire, which is a sweet aroma to the Lord. And even repeated down in verse 17 with the birds that are offered, the turtle doves or the young pigeons, that they are an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The amazing thing in that is there's no picture of incense being sprinkled with this, the sweet aroma. What's so sweet to God? What's so fragrant about this? What is it that is so well-pleasing to him? Why is this pleasing? Because if this ritual, it's not the ritual, it's what's behind the heart of the individual presenting the sacrifice that really matters to God. It's a heart that's recognizing by identifying with that offering, I deserve death. This is what sin deserves. But there's a substitute in my place. Now they anticipated that God would provide the ultimate substitute, the Christos, the promised one, the Messiah. That was promised to Adam and Eve in the garden when God cursed the serpent. They knew God would bring a sacrifice. He would bring the seed that would crush that serpent's head. They looked forward. They didn't know his name was Jesus at that time. But they knew that the nature of God was that he saved, and that he would save those who called on him. Some look at this, and when the sacrifices are offered, it's interesting, they're skinned, and then that creature is cut up into pieces. And some would say, well, why did they do that? Why did they offer that up? Because they didn't get to eat any of it. Why not throw the whole thing up? Well, actually, some would say you look back to Abraham, and when he made the first sacrifice there and laid the pieces before the Lord, and God made a covenant with him. Remember that? And how they passed, two parties making a covenant would pass through those broken pieces of the creatures. But Abraham didn't pass through those pieces, did he? No, the fiery pillar of God passed through them. Abraham, why? Because man can't keep the provisions that are required. Only God can. And so even in offering up those cut up pieces, some say that they're looking back and reminding what the father of faith did when God made a covenant with him. It's a reminder for us, man, praise God he keeps his word. When he promises forgiveness, he doesn't come, well, I'm going to take it back. He doesn't like that, amen? And when he forgives fully and freely to those that come to him humbly and acknowledge it. There's a lot that we can celebrate tonight, because when we read this, we know more of the story. We know what God would provide in Jesus Christ. But even the ritual and the activity that's required here, the psalmist over in Psalm 40 verses 6 through 8 would talk about that, and why that God wasn't desiring really all of the sacrifices. What God really wanted was the heart of the worshiper that approached him behind it. Over in Psalm 40 verses 6 through 8, it says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it's written of me, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart." That's what God has always desired. Truth in the innermost being. That God's people, that we would be faithful and obedient to his will. The reason we have to bring the sacrifice is because we were disobedient to the law. But praise the Lord, there's a provision. And tonight, that provision, Jesus is the one, really, who was the only obedient one, the one whose ear was dug, the doulos, the faithful one. We read about that in Philippians chapter 2. The one who did, it's written in the scroll, did delight to do his Father's will. And that will was that he would go to a cross and die for you and me and offer himself in our place. And so praise the God, Jesus obeyed in all points, in all ways. Even when he was tempted, he didn't sin. He always did the right thing, the Father's will. so he can be the sacrifice for you and me and take away our sin and make us right with God. I pray you know that personally. But listen, there's a world around us. Listen, if you do know that, we need to share that with them, that they can be made right with God too. If they'll just call on the name of the Lord, they can be saved. And that sacrifice, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. We read that tonight in Romans. But any who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so let's celebrate that tonight. If we've called on the name of the Lord, that atonement's been made and we're his always. But also, let's encourage others. While there's time, call on him. Call on him. You can't make yourself good enough, but he can make you perfect because of his shed blood. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we give thanks tonight. It was enough. Jesus, when he cried on that cross, it's finished. He did everything necessary so that we could be saved. And thank you tonight that we can rest in that finished work of Christ. And Lord, I pray we would do that. Lord, I pray we would realize it's nothing that we do that saves us, but because we're saved, we do everything that we do for your glory. And Lord, I pray that we would bring this message of hope to a world around us who some are trying to figure out how to make themselves right with you. And Lord, may they look to Jesus, your Son, the sacrifice for the sin of the world, and may they call on him and trust in him and be saved. Lord, again, bless your people that are here tonight growing in your word. Those who weren't able to be with us, we pray for brothers and sisters that you would just be with them in whatever state that they're going through right now. And God, we pray that we would demonstrate to this world around us that not that we're better than them or we're perfect, but our Savior is. And he's the one who's made us right with you. And so, Lord, help us to bring this to the world around us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.